Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. It is Wednesday and in ridiculous 88 degrees out there. It's going to get up to 99 tomorrow, so get ready for it. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thanks for joining us here on 1320 WILS. So while it seemed that all the attention this week has been on the Supreme Court's ruling on the Arizona law, another ruling on Monday may have been even more significant, and that was this change or this potential consideration to change the ruling that they made on the Citizens United ruling about 2 years ago. That did not happen, and the question is now, what does that mean? Why did the court decide to stick with their original ruling? And what has been the impact of that Citizens United ruling from 2 years ago? Bob Edgar is the president and CEO of Common Cause. It's a national nonpartisan nonprofit citizens lobby working to make government at all levels more honest, open, and accountable. Bob, thanks for joining us here on WILS this evening.
Michael, it's great to be with you.
Well, that's quite a lot of work there cut out for you. How's that going,
Well, it's an uphill battle. In Montana, for 100 years, they've had rules on the books to prevent corporations from meddling in politics. The Citizens United case came down 2 years ago by a 5-4 decision giving corporations and labor unions the ability to dip into their corporate treasury, use those, and we've seen the impact of that in the large super PACs that have formed. And in Montana's case, they pushed back and said, listen, we're a state that had been confronted with robber barons 100 years ago. Mine interests were taking over the state, running the governorship and the Senate offices and the congressional office. And we put a stop to that by having laws in place that prevented corporations from corporatizing democracy. The Supreme Court left a little window open a few weeks ago when it decided that it might take the case, but on Monday of this week when they came down, they simply repeated their 5-4 decision, given telling Montana that their law is unconstitutional.
So, but could the court have allowed Montana's law to stand while having the Citizens United federal law in place?
Yes, they could have taken the Montana decision and said we made a mistake in a portion of the Citizens United case. In that Citizens United case, they said there's no evidence that large corporate contributions in any way are corrupting to the political process. Well, that's just blatantly false on the surface. We know that money corrodes political system. We know that many candidates take money, and when they take that money, they expect to be beholden to the corporation rather than to their constituents.
But ultimately, though, it would have reversed the entire law, right? They could not have allowed a state to have its own law when it comes to controlling this type of campaign financing on its own terms, right? It would have had to change the entire law for the entire country on that point.
Well, what they could have said is that if states want to impose restrictions, the state should be able to go ahead and do that, even though in the national sense, those states that don't want to change their rules should abide by the old Supreme Court decision. Our own belief at Common Cause is that they should have really been smart enough to recognize that this is going to be the most moneyed election in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Money corrodes the system. And as my friend Bill Moyer says, this is the most dangerous moment in American history for democracy. We're either going to be a nation that's oven by and for the people or oven by large corporations and the wealthy. And Citizens United is an outrageous decision. If Sandra Day O'Connor had still been on the courts, the decision would have been 5-4 the other way. And both Justice Stevens and Justice O'Connor, who stepped off the court, think this is one of the worst decisions that the court has done.
Well, you know, I'm talking to Bob Edgar. He's the president and CEO of Common Cause, the national nonpartisan organization. You know, the supporters of this ruling say that it really comes down to this matter of freedom of speech. And on the face of it, that seems to be a strong argument, allowing unions and corporations to express their political support in a monetary way, in any way they want to. I mean, what is the position against that basic argument?
Well, there are two arguments. One is the day before Citizens United came down, corporations could form political action committees. Labor unions could form political action committees. Their speech was not denied them. No one thinks that the day before Citizens United that corporations and labor unions weren't already putting an awful lot in. That's number one. Number two, founding fathers, I don't think, were sitting around a table saying, oh, money is speech. They understood that money can be a corrosive influence and money can stifle speech. Yes, individuals, corporations, and others should have the ability to get involved politically with their talking points, with their arguments, with their ideas. But when they bring money into the system, there ought to be controls on that. And one of the things this Citizens United has done is said that no city, no state, and no national legislative body can, in fact, control or limit money in politics.
Common Cause
is supporting a grassroots effort to amend the Constitution simply to give legislative bodies, whether they're conservative or liberal or moderate, the ability to control money in politics.
But tell me, aren't the corporations, the unions, and the wealthy, aren't they in control anyway, whether there's a limit or not? Aren't they going to be the main players in our political system no matter what?
Well, there are lots of opportunities. For example, public financing that we've installed in Arizona, Maine, and Connecticut for the state legislative races. That's where controls have been put on how much money individuals and corporations can put into political campaigns. In Connecticut, after the former governor was put in jail, the legislature passed a public financing system in the 08 election. 74% of the candidates, both Democratic and Republican, used a public financing system, took no money from special interests, and 81% of them got elected, both Democrats and Republicans. And between 08 and 010, corporations and lobbyists could still lobby, but they couldn't lobby with their checkbooks. They could only lobby with their talking points.
But let me ask you, now this is the, I guess you could say, the second ruling on this issue. Is this the official, is this the last word the Supreme Court's going to be making on this particular issue, maybe for even a decade or two?
Well, until we get different Supreme Court justices, I think they've pretty much decided they're going to come down on all of these issues on a 5-4 basis. We're pushing back with an amendment process to amend the Constitution, and we're pushing back and trying to install disclosure legislation so that even if individuals and corporations are putting money into politics, before the elections, we can at least have transparency and know who's putting the money in and how much they're putting in. There are a number of legislative efforts on disclosure at the federal and state level that we're presenting. Mm-hmm. And we've qualified in Montana so that in November, when people go to vote in Montana, they'll be able on a state referendum to vote for the president, vote for the Senate and House, but they'll also get to vote to instruct their House and Senate members to go back to Washington and support a constitutional amendment giving legislative bodies the right to limit money in politics.
Is the Supreme Court, while it's making these rulings, is it acknowledging that it does shift the political power structure significantly, but they still say, look, it is still a matter of freedom, even if there are consequences to it?
Well, I think that's what the Supreme Court believes, but I don't think that the general public believes that. I think the general public, even before Citizens United, believe that our government was becoming broken because corporate and labor interests were putting too much money into the political campaigns. When I served in Congress for 12 years, the special interest groups came first with their talking points. And then if they liked the way you voted, that's when they brought the money into the system. If they disliked the way you voted, they went out to try to find somebody to run against you. Money was important then, but not to the extent that it has influenced the system now. Checks come first, talking points come second.
Can you actually feel the difference in a political sense right now in Washington after this Citizens United ruling, or is it still in some ways very much like it was before?
No, when I served in Congress, money was important, but not as important as it's been over the last 20 years. Members of the House spend 20 hours a week raising money for their reelection. I want them to spend that time working on the challenges we face in our society and not spending all of their time raising money for their reelection or for their leadership races.
I see. Now, you're saying in terms of battling this decision, this constitutional amendment is the best bet right now?
I think while it's difficult to amend the Constitution, it is possible. And we think that the decision to amend the Constitution has to come from the grassroots rather than from the top down. If Washington is broken, if we don't think we're going to get a constitutional amendment automatically out of the House and Senate, what we're doing is going out to cities, Los Angeles, New York, 300 cities have passed resolutions instructing their House and Senate members to support a constitutional amendment giving legislative bodies the ability to control money in politics. If that amendment were part of the Constitution, you'd still have the freedom of speech in the Constitution under the First Amendment, but it would limit the Supreme Court and other judicial branches from suggesting that the Constitution prohibits any limitation of money. Money can stifle speech. That's our argument.
One last thing. The lack of public reaction to this ruling, and in general to the original Citizens United ruling, what would you attribute that to?
Well, I think most people are trying to raise their families. They're struggling on the jobs and economic front. Some of this is inside baseball kind of mentality, inside the Beltway issues. I think as this election proceeds and they see these super lobbying, super PACs buy up all the airtime, when August, September, October comes and every commercial is a negative commercial on both sides, and Obama raises a billion, Romney raises a billion, and the super PACs raised $3 billion, I believe that as bad as that is, the sliver of hope is that average ordinary citizens will recognize that the Supreme Court decision has gone a mile too far and that our government is broken, and broken in part because of the influence of money.
Bob Edgar, President and CEO of Common Cause in Washington, D.C. Bob, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Great to be with you.
Excellent. Now, for feedback, send us an email at ccrecap@gmail.com, ccrecap@gmail.com. We'll be right back to talk about the Michigan Court of Appeals ruling today on medical marijuana. It's not good news for those who use it. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.